Well, good morning, TNC family, on this final Sunday in September, where today here, we're in part two of a five-part series called Everybody Has a Story, in which we're exploring from the scriptures some important truths about every human life, every human story, your story. And last week, we remembered and reaffirmed from 1 John 3, John 15, Jeremiah 29, Galatians 2, Ephesians 2, and more, that your story matters. It matters to God, it matters to you, and it matters to those around you. And we said that in part because the great temptation is to think, what I do today doesn't really matter. If I say or don't say, do or don't do, go or don't go, how I spend my time, what I expose my mind to, what I expose my heart to, doesn't really matter. But as we saw last week, to think that way is to live with a huge blindness that many live with in our day, which is a blindness to the significance of our lives, and therefore to make choices that if we were not blind, we would never make. But your story is significant. Your choices do matter. Everybody has a story that matters. It's just, and here's what I want to talk with you about today. Nobody gets the story they hope for, at least not completely. Because no story goes without unwanted twists and turns, detours and setbacks, trouble and loss. And this is actually foundational to a biblical worldview because the Bible's story is that creation itself is somehow incomplete, that the story of humanity has been broken. Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 8. Creation itself has been subjected to frustration, he writes. In Genesis 3, we're told that the human condition will involve pain. There will be thorns and thistles. Progress will come by the sweat of your brow, but your lifespan will not last as long as you'd like. And part of what that means is nobody gets the story they want. No one gets through life trouble-free, suffering-free. And you see this, I think, with every person in Scripture, and especially with those who are called by God. They never get the smooth story they want. Job, Abraham, Sarai, Moses, Esther, Ruth, Hannah, Daniel, Mary, Joseph, Peter, Paul. Jesus says to Peter in some of his final words to him, quote, "When you were young, you dressed yourself, and you went where you wanted to go. But when you're old, somebody else will dress you, and they will lead you where you do not want to go." And then, of course, Paul, we've talked at length about his life over the years. He had a story that he thought he was headed toward, and then he got interrupted one day on the road to Damascus, and it led to, well, in his own words, quote, "I have been in prison more frequently. I have been flogged more severely. I have been exposed to death again and again. Five times I received the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a day and a night in open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, bandits, my own people, Gentiles, false believers in the city and in the country. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst. I've been cold and naked. And in addition to all of that, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches." TNC, he was not given the story he wanted. And yet, the story that he did not want changed the world. And that's how it can go in your story and mine, if we'll think wisely and respond well to the stories that we're in. So, let's think for a few moments about how to respond to the story that you're in that maybe you never hoped for. When you come to a place where you aren't getting the story you want, what are some strategies for doing life well? Well, I want to talk now about three strategies for when your story does not go as you want. And here's number one, first strategy, make peace with reality. And reality is, life is difficult, which I get doesn't sound very profound or enlightened, but it is actually a great truth, one of the greatest truths that we must make peace with. Because once we truly know that life is difficult, once we truly understand and accept it, then life is actually less difficult. Because you're no longer immobilized and consumed by the fact that life is difficult. To use a football metaphor, no good football player jogs off the field and goes, "I can't believe it! They've got an out-of-bounds line there, and folks are trying to tackle me and push me backwards and steal the ball from me." They don't say that because, oh, that's just part of the game. That's what you get on the playing field. And TNC on the playing field of life, well, it's gonna be difficult. And too many people waste time complaining about the conditions on the field rather than focusing on solutions and action. And I'm fully guilty on far too many occasions of this, but the Bible has quite a lot of wisdom for me when I fall into a pattern of complaining, including that I become a cancer to every room I walk into. Because not only do I become miserable to be around, but it turns out complaining is quite contagious. And I infect other people with a kind of negative spirit. And I rob them and myself of the potential of being resilient and joyful about life. And in the process, I live in blind denial of one of life's most basic truths, which is life is difficult. And TNC, to fail to make peace with this, is not only a failure to see reality, it's actually the difference between immaturity and maturity. Said another way, to complain when we don't get our way, to play the victim when our story goes off script, that's a sign of being a baby. Truly. Psychologists call it pre-reflective optimism. Optimism before you reflect about something. And it's why babies and very young children might smile at strangers and reach for new objects without fear. It's because they assume the world is safe and that their needs will be met. It's optimism that is pre-reflective because it exists before conscious thought or evaluation kicks in. It's also why a baby will scream and cry without stopping if they don't get what they want, because they just believe, if I want it, I should get it, and I will get it if I just wail long enough. I'm hungry, feed me. I don't want to go to bed, hold me. I want that toy, give it to me. And that's the way it should be. But nobody gets the story they want. And it's just kind of a naive assumption. Which is why, as we grow older, that pre-reflective optimism begins to wear off as we bump in and against reality. Psychologists actually call this the reality principle, in which we discover that reality was not designed to meet our every want or need, and that's okay, because life is difficult. Which doesn't mean to stop striving for a preferred future, because to have a clear plan about a preferred future is healthy and lays the groundwork for appropriate action and perseverance and so on. But it does mean that we must make peace with this truth, life is difficult. Which leads to a second strategy when your story doesn't go as you want. Number two, share your story. And first, share it with God. The book of Psalms is a wonderful model for this. It's also in line with the words of the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Philippian church, where he writes, by prayer and petition, bring your requests to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It reminds me of all the times that I, alongside the elders of our church, prayed alongside our dear friend Ann Moore, who passed away a few months ago after a 7-year battle with cancer, and whom we miss so dearly. Because every time we prayed together or just talked about her cancer or how we could pray for her, she never said, that I can remember, pray that I won't suffer or that the suffering will go away. What she said was, and I will always remember this about her, pray that I can take this journey with faith and peace and find the Lord's presence and will in it. And if you knew her well, I think you'd agree, we never sensed in her self-pity or bitterness or a sense of despair or anger. Rather, God, whatever it is that I have to go through, would you go through it with me? God, I offer it to you so that somehow it can have meaning, so that somehow it might find its way to the foot of the cross where my family and friends and community and those I love might find you through it. Anne shared her story with God. But she also understood that part of sharing it with Jesus means sharing it with others because, and Paul makes a big deal of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, among other places, we, the church, are the hands and feet of Jesus. And so sharing your story with Jesus includes sharing it with one another, not walking through your story alone. I like the way best-selling author Anne Lamott explains it in her most recent book, Somehow, Thoughts on Love. She writes this, there is a story that I live by, A young girl's having a hard time falling asleep one night and calls out for her mother. Her mother comes in and gently tucks her in again and assures her that Jesus is there in the room with her, so she needn't be afraid. And it is not long after the mother leaves that her daughter calls her again. And her mother comes in, tucks her in again, and assures her again that Jesus is with her. And this goes on and on. Each time the increasingly annoyed mother saying basically the same thing until finally in the dark the little girl says plaintively, "I need someone with skin on." And this is the main instruction, Lamott goes on to write, that I would leave my family and my swag bag of spiritual truth. Be goodness with skin on. We're called to be love that wears socks and shoes, she writes. Share the journey. And I suspect that some of us have had little glimpses of this, of how in some way through the deepest pain we've ever gone through, there were conversations that happened. There were holy moments of connection with people that ministered to us in and through the unwanted parts of our story. And I don't understand all the reasons why this is true, but somehow it's just true. When you share your story with another, the possibility for hope and healing reaches its fullest possibility. So, share your story. And then finally, number three, a third strategy when your story doesn't go as you want. Find the learning. Or as Peter puts it in his first letter in the Scriptures, chapter 1, "For now you may have to suffer trials and tests of all sorts. But this is so that the true value of your faith may be discovered." In other words, when your story does not go as you hope, there is a learning that you can discover. And sometimes the learning is, well, I don't control everything or everyone, and there's not much I can do, so I'm just going to have to accept it. But other times the learning is, oh, I can learn a lot about myself in this struggle, ways I can do things differently or think differently. I remember in high school, I took a shop class from Mr. Lunyon, where among other things, we made carvings out of wood and we grouted tile and we learned about measuring and cutting, designing and welding. And I remember always being the last to finish, but never having the best product. And Mr. Lunyon said to me one day, everyone else had left the classroom, "I see you're working really hard, David. Good for you. Keep on working. You'll get better. But also I want you to know that it's okay if this is never your best thing." Which was his way of saying kindly, you sort of stink at this. But if you think about it, his candor about my struggle didn't sabotage me. It was a great gift because truth is, your best friend, TNC, amid the struggle is truth. And one of the lessons from this is, when you meet a struggle, when you're in a struggle, how can you find the truth? And who can you invite to tell you the truth in it? Who can you say to, hey, would you be willing to tell me what you see in my struggle? And could I possibly have a role to play in why I'm struggling? And then just listen and take notes and don't explain and defend or try to solve. Just learn. Find the learning in your circumstance. And once you find the learning, well, we're going to talk about that next week, what you do after that. But for today, three strategies. Number one, make peace with the reality that life is difficult. And share your story. And then find the learning in your struggle. And part of what happens when you do these three things is you begin to realize that your not the story I had hoped for story is part of a larger story, that you're part of a larger narrative. I think about the story of Joseph in the Scriptures, the book of Genesis, how he doesn't get the story he hoped. Like when he's a kid in Canaan at age 17, his brothers hate him so much they beat him half to death, they throw him in a pit and they leave him to die. And then he ends up in Egypt as a slave, but then he starts to turn his fortunes around when he's falsely accused of rape. And then he's falsely imprisoned. And then he's forgotten by a friend who promised to help him. But now we'll just fast forward the story, because at the end, when he looks back over all these painful periods, what he sees is he was part of a larger narrative, and that his individual story was part of a grander story. And I think this is almost always how it works for folks who flourish. They begin to see their story as part of a larger story. Because there is no story that isn't linked to a larger story. It always makes me think of J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings trilogy. In the second book of the trilogy, The Two Towers, where Samwise Gamgee and Frodo are entering into the most dangerous part of Mordor, It's a dangerous journey in general, but now they're especially filled with fear. And Frodo says, I don't like anything about this, but this is where our path has taken us. And Sam responds, yes, we wouldn't be here at all if we'd known more about it before we started. And what he means is, often if we knew where and what we were headed into, we would never say yes. We would decline the adventures if we saw the trials and the challenges ahead, which would be a tragedy because we'd miss out on the flourishing life. In the book, Sam goes on, quote, the brave things in the old tales and songs, Mr. Frodo, adventures as I used to call them, I used to think that they were things the wonderful folk of the stories went out and looked for because they wanted them, because they were exciting and life was a bit dull, a kind of a sport, as you might say. But that's not the way of it with the tales that really mattered, or the ones that stay in the mind. Folks seem to have just been landed in them. And I expect they had lots of chances like us of turning back, only they didn't. And if they had, we wouldn't know, because they'd have been forgotten. Sam goes on, I wonder what sort of tale we've fallen into. Frodo responds, I wonder, but I don't know. And that's the way of a real tale. Take anyone you're fond of. You may know or guess what kind of story it is, happy ending or sad ending, but the people in it don't know and you don't want them to know. And this is so powerful to even see about our lives because we are the people in the story and we don't always know how aspects of our story will end and we don't always get the story we want. But the call of one who flourishes is to begin to see that the situation you're in is part of a larger story and what you do matters for a larger narrative. In the book, Sam says as he's thinking about past heroes, quote, come to think of it, we're all in the same story. It's still going on. Do the great stories never end? No, says Frodo, they never end as stories, but the people in them come and go when their part has ended. And TNC, we are in this great story, the story that in the beginning God created, and it will have an ending. God will make all things new. But now we're in the middle of it, and we come and we go, but the story goes on. And it has meaning and goodness, and we're called to make peace with reality, to share our stories, and to find the learning in them, even though we don't always get the story we want. And we'll continue the journey next week, but now, TNC, I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you, would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, would turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.